Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
I recently had a conversation with a coworker about God. She expressed that she no longer knows if she believes in God, primarily after reflecting on how a loving God could let children all over the world suffer, especially if he has power to stop it. She was passionate, considering she has two children of her own. It was brief, and I mostly listened as she talked. I'd like to continue our spiritual conversations during our scheduled lunches together, but feel intimidated addressing the weighty topic of God and suffering. How should I proceed?
This is a great opportunity to get to the gospel with somebody, because the gospel really is the best way to address the issue of God and suffering. And these kinds of conversations happen quite a bit, because there's tons of suffering all around us all the time, and people recognize that it's bad. And yet, because so many people around us are fallen and lost, they have a tendency to want to find a reason not to believe in God. So these conversations come up all the time, and few of us know how to handle it. So we may kind of freeze up because we don't really know what to do. So let's work our way through it.
Cool. Well, we want to start by building a bridge.
Yeah, the impulse for some of us, and I'm probably one of these people, is to immediately correct their thinking. But it's better, in my better moments, in my opinion, it's better to create a sense of commonality with the person. So you might say something like, you know, I've had similar thoughts at times. And you may not have had the exact same thought as this person. I personally have never questioned the existence of God, but I have struggled to understand the goodness of God in light of the horrible things that happen to children in this world. I've got a good friend who's a police officer. Some of you know him. And he's just seen terrible things happen to children in his line of work. And just listening to him talk, I've often thought, man, I have a hard time understanding this.
Yeah.
And most of us have those kinds of things, maybe not on the same level as a police officer, but we've seen things, we've even experienced them ourselves, and then we hear about this good God, and it's difficult to reconcile. So we do have some kind of commonality with that person who's expressing that reservation. So we can say genuinely, I know what you're feeling. So we want to build a bridge to continue that communication. If you go right to presuppositional apologetics and just start taking apart their logic and worldview, you might lose them, because they may feel attacked. This is a very emotional issue for people, and straight logic isn't usually going to win the day. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to get to logic and the truth and the Bible, but I would start out by validating their concern, because you want the conversation to continue, and you want them to feel comfortable talking to you about it. So I would say that the best way to do that is to just validate the question and the emotion behind it, so that you can continue talking.
Yeah, and one way you can do that is relate their compassion to God's compassion.
Right. So we're creating a bridge. That bridge is not just between the two of you, but it's a bridge to God. So you could say something like, you know, your concern about suffering is actually shared by the God of the Bible. And we read this all over the place in the Bible. So don't be shy about the Bible. Tell them what it says about God's compassion, that he hates evil. I would point out to them that there's this phrase describing God over and over in the Bible. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. We find that all over the place in the Bible. And you could point out that in the Old Testament, nothing upsets God more than the mistreatment of the helpless, especially widows and orphans. So God cares deeply about children, just like you do. And so you could say, you know, when I read the Bible, I don't come away with the idea that God is aloof toward evil or that he's negligent in these things, but rather he hates evil and he is full of compassion.
And also share that without God, there would be no justice.
That's something that people don't usually consider, that There's another side to this issue of compassion. And typically, as we're feeling compassion, we see horrible things happening to people. We also have this impulse that something needs to happen to the people who are causing that suffering. Mm. We want justice. We naturally want justice. God hates evil so much that he guarantees justice. Mm. And that's something that no person can do. So we are naturally outraged at moral atrocities. God has the power and authority to actually do something about it, and he promises to do so. And the Bible is the story of God making promises and infallibly keeping those promises. And one of those promises that God makes is he will bring justice to every wrongdoer, and he will keep that promise. You know, we frequently hear from people who would like to argue against the existence of God, we hear about this problem of evil, which essentially is what this question is about. And the problem of evil has been stated in a number of different ways, but basically the question is, how can there be a good and all-powerful God when there is evil in the world? And the person described in this question is struggling for that reason. They're struggling to believe in God because there is suffering. But a question that I might ask is, given all of this suffering and evil, does it not bother you to think that there'll be no justice for it, that this is all just completely meaningless, that the people causing this suffering will just get away with it? Because without God, that's what we're left with. Suffering exists, but there will be no ultimate justice. Likewise, there will be no comfort for those who mourn and suffer. So everything that we're seeing when it comes to suffering and those who cause suffering, it's all completely meaningless. There's going to be no justice. There's going to be no comfort. But the Bible, in the last chapters of the Bible, promise both justice and comfort. And both of those things come as a result of the character and presence of God.
Yeah, and then, so we also do want to show them that any recognition of evil assumes the existence of God.
Yeah, so this is where we're getting into the logic. And I wouldn't start with this, but I would eventually work my way to it. Mm. And I wouldn't say what I'm about to say, most likely, but there is a logical problem with the statement, I just can't believe in God because of all the suffering and evil in the world. Mm. The problem with that is that when we're bothered by suffering or outraged by evil, we are assuming an absolute standard of right and wrong. When we make moral judgments of any kind, we presuppose the existence of God, because we couldn't make such judgments without the existence of an absolute good moral lawgiver. So I wouldn't necessarily say that, but with that in mind, I might ask, if there's no God, no absolute standard of right and wrong, how could we account for any awareness of evil? Or another question might be, without God, we're left with a naturalistic world. There's just matter. There's just electrons in our brains. How then can we account for evil? How can evil exist? Another way to think of this is the flip side of the issue, which we might call the problem of good. If there's no God, a good and wise creator, then why do we, like the person described in the question, why do we have such a deep impulse toward justice and mercy? How can we explain that if there is no God? How can there be good without God? Of course, the best explanation is that we are created in his image. We are repulsed by moral atrocities. We're drawn to justice and mercy because we are the image bearers of our Creator. He exists, and that's why we feel these things towards evil and suffering.
Absolutely, and we want to be sure to talk about the gospel.
Yeah, any interaction with an unbeliever should have us thinking about, how can I get to the gospel? Mm. And the gospel really is the best way to address this question of suffering, evil, the existence of God, and a great bridge to the gospel on this issue would be something like, God is not at all aloof to our suffering. All suffering in the world is a result of man's rebellion against God. Sin entered the world. because we rebelled against God, and suffering entered with sin. And every one of us have sinned too many times to count. And God is perfectly just, so he punishes sin eternally in hell. And that may sound harsh, but we can't have it both ways. We can't say that God lacks compassion for not stopping evil, but then accuse him of lacking compassion for bringing justice upon evil. The fact that no one, the fact is that no one hates evil and suffering more than God, and that is evidenced by what he did to bring both justice and mercy to the earth. He dealt with our sin by sending his son to fulfill his law for us and to die in our place. He suffered on the cross for us. So God poured his wrath out on Jesus for sins committed by others, and Jesus did this willingly out of love for the Father and for us. 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead, proving that God's justice was satisfied. Now everyone who repents and trusts in Jesus is saved from eternal suffering for sin and can be reconciled to this good and loving God. So God gave his son to end suffering for all time. God is not aloof to suffering. He has done the most personal thing possible to end suffering and sin. And that's how I would approach this question with an unbeliever.
Amen. Well, we hope you found this episode helpful. If you do, please share it. Please leave us a rating on our podcast. Until next time.
Greg. All right. See ya.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.